Jack Posobiec in for Charlie Kirk. Congressman Troy Nehls in with us to break down his new book, endorsed by President Trump, The Big Fraud and the Truth about the Murder. Yeah, I said it, murder of Ashley Babbitt on January 6th. Then we bring in Darren Beatty, who continues his investigation of the pipe bomber on January 6th. And we get into the mystery of the missing benches outside the DNC. Make sure you stay tuned for this.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Now, if you're following President Trump on True Social, because I know I certainly am, he had a post up about a couple of weeks ago that said Congressman Troy Nehls from the great state of Texas is out with his new book, The Big Fraud, What Democrats Don't Want You to Know About January 6th, the 2020 election, and a whole lot else. Well, I'm excited to say that Congressman Troy Nehls is here with us today. Former law enforcement, 30 years, eight of those as a county sheriff in Texas. That's right, a constitutional sheriff in Texas. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today on the Charlie Kirk Show.
Jack, thank you. It's good to be with you. What an honor. And yes, you can get the book on Amazon. It's flying off the shelves, Jack. So thank you. And Trump's endorsed it. It's a must read for all Americans. But thank you.
Well, and the fact that the president endorsed it, obviously incredible. You know, I'm just looking even at the cover. And of course, I followed your work on pushing back on so much when it came to the January 6th investigations and even the Ashley Babbitt case. And that's essentially what now the cover, of course, here is not the Ashley Babbitt shooting, but it does depict those Capitol Police agents pointing the guns directly at the people on January 6th.
Yes, I was probably the last member to leave the House floor. I'm at the back doors, and that's what the cover is. Me at the back doors conversing with the riders.
Oh, that's you. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was actually. Okay, got it.
That is me at the back doors. And then as a few minutes later, I heard the shot that Lieutenant Byrd did, in my humble opinion, murder and kill Ashley Babbitt in week.
So how far away, Congressman, and I apologize for not realizing it was you at first, but how far away were you? Walk us through the actual, the tactical setup there, because how far were you from that hallway when Lieutenant Byrd fired that fatal shot?
Yes, the shot took place in the speaker's lobby, which was behind me. And I would probably say a distance of maybe 50 yards. I was at the doors that lead into the House chamber, trying to make sure that they didn't breach the House chamber. No rioter never got on the House floor. So the left, Benny Thompson and everybody, they're telling you that if Ashley Babbitt would have jumped through that window into the speaker's lobby, she would have been on the House floor. That is just a false. That is not true. There were four doors in the back in the speaker's lobby that lead onto the House floor, but they were all barricaded. We had security inside the House floor with the Capitol Police plain clothes and uniforms. So no, the idea that Lieutenant Byrd had to shoot and kill Ashley Babbitt for the safety of members of Congress is just complete false. It's a lie. And I lay it out in detail in the book. And January 6th was a law enforcement failure, Jack. And that's why Donald Trump and I was up there the day after the raid up there in Bedminster talking to him. And he said, Troy, we need to get this book out to everybody in the country because it's the counter narrative to January 6th and Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney, Adam. What a disgrace how they're trying to blame this on our great president.
Well, I would agree with you on that. And for certainly for myself, you know, and I was outside. So I was outside on January 6th, had come from the Ellipse, had gone back up to where the War Room Pandemic is filmed. We were watching it there for a little bit. And then I was walking down Constitution Avenue past the Capitol. So I'm on Constitution Avenue coming down the hill, if that makes sense. And that's when we saw myself, I was with Raheem Kassam. We saw the people on the grounds. We couldn't really see what was going on at the front because we're coming around the corner, but we heard the two flashbangs that go off. And they went off very quickly in rapid succession. And then, of course, everything's breaking loose on there. But I remember thinking at the time, I said, how did it how did it happen that law enforcement was able to allow a group this large to be able to get onto the Capitol? Because we have marches in Washington, D.C. Quite frequently, and usually the Capitol is very well defended. It's very well taken care of. You know, if there's security needed. Of course, we had this massive security cordon after January 6th for months that everybody forgets about, that all of Washington, D.C. and certainly the Capitol area was under lockdown, military lockdown, this deployment of National Guard, razor wire up right in front of me. I couldn't even park my car to go to work because there was razor wire and barricades where I usually park my car. But walk us through a little bit of that as you lay out in the book in terms of the law enforcement failure here.
It was a law enforcement failure because the leadership of the Capitol Police, they had all the intelligence. They had assessments that were done on December 15th, December 30th, January 3rd. And the assessment was very clear. In the assessment, it said that the Capitol building itself was the target, that there were extremist groups on both sides. There were white supremacist groups coming. They knew there were tens of thousands of people that were going to be there, and there was going to be a high propensity for violence. And the leadership team, they hid the intelligence. They hid the reports. They didn't share it. They certainly didn't share it with the 1,840 personnel with the Capitol Police, because many of them were ill-prepared to deal with that day. And then you're right. When Donald Trump was speaking in the Ellipse and all these people were converging there in the reflection pond, what did the Capitol Police have? They had a bicycle rack. That's what they were going to use to keep the people out. Bicycle racks. The bicycle rack, Jack, couldn't keep your cat in your yard. It's almost like it was by design that they didn't prepare the Capitol Police. They knew there were Trump supporters going to be up there, the different groups of people. And it's like they allowed it to happen. They didn't want to prevent it.
Congressman, do you get into it all in the book, this idea that we hear this from Benny Thompson over and over, that rioters killed multiple police officers. They say rioters killed multiple police officers. Or even if you push them on that, you say, who? What are their names? And then they'll say, well, there were rioters or there were police officers who died of the trauma and committed suicide, or that were, you know, succumbed to injuries, right? Because I remember what happened in April 2nd of 2021 on 4-2. When there was a Capitol Police officer named Billy Evans, who was murdered by a member of the Nation of Islam, a Farrakhan supporter, that drove his car into the Capitol Police. He was murdered. And yet nobody even talks about Billy Evans. Do you get into, though, this idea that the rioters killed anybody? Because the only person that I can see from my analysis that was murdered, just straight up murdered on January 6th, was Ashley Babbitt.
That is absolutely correct, Jack. It was Ashley Babbitt. The only gunshot that was fired that day was by Lieutenant Byrd, who murdered Ashley Babbitt. And to your viewers, your listeners, number one, that shooting never went to a grand jury. It was the quickest shooting. I've talked to individuals inside the Capitol Police and said, we've never seen an investigation happen so quickly. It should have gone to a grand jury. And then Benny Thompson and the dishonest media, the greatest threat to our nation, they want to make these claims that police officers were killed that day by rioters. There were some medical emergencies, no question about it, but there's not one autopsy. Not one autopsy conducted that said that any of those officers were murdered. The only one that was murdered was Ashley Babbitt. I had Aaron Babbitt up there 2 weeks ago, and I actually took him inside the Capitol, took him to the Speaker's lobby where his wife Ashley was killed, because I think it was very important for him to see, and he hasn't been there. So, yeah.
I think there's a lot here. And the fact that you've actually spent time with the family, with her widower, with the mother, that this is a story that as a country, we need to deal with. Where can people go to follow your coordinates, follow all your work, and get this book?
You can get on Amazon. It's doing very well on Amazon. It's been great. Donald Trump put it out on Truth Social. He wants the American people to see the counter narrative and truth. Because again, you're not hearing it from Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney. They want to blame Donald Trump for January 6th, folks. It's just not true. It's not true. They don't want Donald Trump coming back in 2024, and they're going to try to use January 6th and make him look like he's a criminal. It's not. It's the leadership of the Capitol Police. And when we get the, when we take over the House, I would implore Speaker, it's going to be Kevin McCarthy, that he continues to hold committee hearings, and we need to get Nancy Pelosi and everyone else. We need to have hearings, Ray Epps, all of them. We need to question them.
I love it. Congressman Troy Nels of the Freedom Caucus, thank you so much for your time, for your work. And we expect to see big things in the majority come next year.
Look, in the good old days, we Americans argued about which policies to pursue to improve this beautiful country. Charlie Kirk here. Too often, we find ourselves arguing about whether or not America is great or not, or whether we should be ashamed or whether we should love America. The reason for this is simple. For too many years, too many of our schools have been neglecting to teach young people about our great heritage of liberty, presenting them instead a dishonest narrative of America as a fundamentally unjust or racist country. Hillsdale College is weighing in for America, the wonderful Hillsdale College, by offering a free online course, such as The Great American Story, A Land of Hope, Constitution 101, The Meaning of the History of the Constitution. As we get closer to Constitution Day, September 17th, I encourage all of you to enroll in one of these wonderful free courses from Hillsdale. And even better, encourage your friends and family to sign up too. Begin your Hillsdale course today at charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Check it out, charlie4hillsdale.com.
Folks, federal power derives from the legitimacy of the states. That's how it works. That's how it flows. That's how our founders laid it out. And you know they're going after Paxton because of this. You know they're going after anyone who stands in their way. But another person that they go after all the time, but someone who's also flipping the script on that and going after them, is the great Darren Beatty. And at revolver.news, he's got a new piece up today because this Darren is like a dog with a bone when it comes to this, because he's still digging down on the January 6th pipe bomb. He actually calls it the pipe bomb hoax. And so we've got a graphic up now on this talking about how they used Google Earth to conduct a deeper investigation into everything that happened on this situation. Do we have Darren on?
I'm here.
Darren, well wishes on Yom Kippur, by the way.
Thank you.
Tell us about this new work that you've done, this deep investigation. I don't think I've seen anyone investigate something this deeply.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. And it's so important, this level of persistence, because when you catch the regime in an error, you know, they could have gotten away with January 6th, but they made two major glaring errors. One of those errors is Ray Epps. The inherent virality of Ray Epps' behavior really was always going to be a problem for them. And the other problem is the pipe bomb. And both of these smoking guns are so damning to the official narrative that their only hope is for us to just forget about it and move on. Their only play at this point is the limited attention span of the American public. And so it's incumbent on all of us to keep this front and center, not to lose focus, and to keep drilling down into these hoax narratives until we get to the very bottom of what actually went on. And so that's what we're trying to do at Revolver with the pipe bomb. For the audience who's not aware, our last major piece, this is amazing. We proved definitively that the FBI was withholding critical footage of the pipe bomber actually planting the bomb at the DNC. Now, what's amazing about that is that you would think that the Democrats and the Democrat Party, remember, the official story is that this is a MAGA pipe bomber who planted an explosive device in front of the national headquarters of the Democrat Party. You would think that the Democrats, if they actually believe that, would be a little bit more interested in getting the FBI's withheld footage of the actual pipe bomber planting the bomb. I mean, to me, there's no more smoking gun than that. It's amazing that the FBI hasn't even been put in a position where they have to make up a lie, make an excuse for why they're not releasing that footage. They just haven't had to answer for it at all. And so in this follow-up piece, we kind of drill down further. And as you mentioned, we do a Google walkthrough and we show very clearly just how remarkably implausible the official narrative is, because we show exactly where the pipe bomb was planted, literally feet away from an exit to the DNC. And we have the Secret Service on record saying that they swept the DNC building because they hid it for a year, but it finally came out that Kamala was in there. Secret Service allegedly swept it. How did they not see the pipe bomb right there? Another thing we uncovered,
which, by the way, during a Secret Service sweep for explosives, you would have explosives. The bomb sniffing dogs would be there. So if there were actual explosives, that would have triggered them immediately.
Exactly. And they're in the forensics report. And that's another thing in this article is that here another kind of gem in the article. The benches, the famous benches from anyone who saw the surveillance footage of the pipe bomber sitting on those benches don't exist anymore. We confirmed that. Revolver News sent a team to the location. Those benches have been removed, presumably as part of some kind of forensics analysis. But the most comprehensive forensics report that we're aware of, the National Explosives Task Force report, the authorities leaked that to CBS, which wrote one article about it, and we haven't heard from it since. So one of the calls to action in this piece is that we need to subpoena this forensics report, and we need to subpoena and get the names and identities of the Secret Service agents who allegedly swept the exits of the DNC and managed to miss this pipe bomb sitting right there by a park bench in front of everyone's face.
I mean, that would be the obvious place to put a pipe bomb. You put pipe bombs under a bench, you put them maybe if a trash can is nearby. These are some of the obvious places to use one of these devices. They were thinking about using trash cans in the Boston bombing, for example. Right. So just from pure security standpoint, I mean, you've got the vice president of, the vice president elect of the United States that was traveling there. You're the other vice president at the Capitol. It makes no sense whatsoever. Darren, I want to get through the rest of the story, the actual Google walkthrough, and the fact of how important this piece is to the overall timeline of January 6th and as the events unfolded. Because I've always questioned why it is that the report of the pipe bomb happened just before the breach really got started, almost with military precision. I hesitate to use the phrase, but it almost seems like military precision in a case where the security forces are diverted from the place where they would normally be. They're all sent over here. They're kept very busy. And then suddenly, we just had Congressman Nels on asking about why was law enforcement not more present at the Capitol? Well, it was because they were investigating pipe bombs.
Charlie Kirk here. Look, I've told you about producer Andrew and how Relief Factor has really improved his life and relieved the pain in his knees and back. Now, let me tell you about Yvonne in California. She says this, quote, "Both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom from aches and pains like Relief Factor." I hear you, Yvonne. Relief Factor works for me too. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free solution developed by doctors based on scientific research to help your body attack the underlying inflammation causing you pain. 3 weeks from now, you could be doing the things you enjoy doing. Your first step to becoming pain-free could be just to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 804-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 804-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor.
There was a guard station that you can see on this footage, right, through Google Street, because people know Google Street View, that's footage that you're basically just watching time-stamped footage that's been recreated from still frames of video. There was a guard station immediately adjacent to where these pipe bombs were found.
Within feet. And again, it's like, to me, it's remarkable enough and it's unbelievable enough to think that the Secret Service, allegedly the most sophisticated protection detail in the world, could have done a sweep of the exit and missed it. But if that's not implausible enough, now we see that there's a security guard, DNC security guard, stationed just feet away from the place that the bomber planted the bomb. And so anyone sitting on these benches who worked at the DNC for a coffee in the morning, anyone who walked by, the DNC guard, the Secret Service, they all missed it. And what's even more remarkable is you pointed out the timeline, which is crucial here. There are two independent things that are remarkable and unbelievable, and they both happen at once in order to, according to the official narrative. One is that for 17 hours, the DNC pipe bomb wasn't found by all these people. That the lack of discovery of the DNC bomb. On the other side, and equally remarkable, if not more so, was the circumstances behind the discovery of how the RNC bomb was found. This was not right out there in the open like the DNC bomb. This was ensconced in a back alley, basically behind a trash can. It was very hard to, it's very easy to see how someone wouldn't found that. But sure enough, a random pedestrian allegedly found the DNC bomb, found it at 12:40. This is a mechanical 1 hour timer. They found it at 12:40 and it had 20 minutes left and it was stuck on the dial of 20 minutes. So it was found at to the precise minute to give the precise impression that it was set to go off at 1 p.m., which was when the congressional certification proceedings happened. And when the pedestrian called in to say, look, there's a pipe bomb, the police responded literally 3 minutes before the initial assault on the Capitol. So the discovery of the RNC bomb happened in such a manner as to be precisely and exactly coordinated with both the congressional certification proceeding at 1 and the initial assault on the western perimeter of the Capitol that began at 12:50. And we're supposed to believe this is just a random discovery. And if a pipe bomb was discovered any earlier, if, for instance, the Secret Service found the pipe bombs at the DNC around 11 a.m., that would have meant there would be more security everywhere, including at the Capitol, which may have prevented the breach. But because it was found right during the initial assault on the Capitol, it had the opposite effect of detracting forces from the Capitol so that they can say, oh, our forces were diverted. That's how the breach was able to happen.
So what that, going with that line of thinking, what that would be called in the military, if this were something like that, it's called a shaping operation. So a shaping operation is done to shape the military battle space in a way that becomes advantageous for your forces and for your strategy. And so if you're attempting to manipulate or maneuver the enemy forces through deception and denial operations, military deception operations, this is one of the options you could use to do that. A car crash would be another example. There's many different things. And certainly our military special forces are trained in these very same tactics. That's how I know about them from my time in the intelligence community. I think it suffices to say everyone needs to go and read this article, because what you are doing is you are taking the narrative and you are exploding it faster than a Russian pipeline laying at the bottom of the Baltic. By the way, I agree with your assessment on that, that was the leverage that they had over Europe, and now they no longer have it. But Darren, the site is revolver.news. What else do you have breaking?
Well, we have a pipeline, so to speak, on the pipe bomb story. So there's
line on the pipe.
A lot more stuff coming on the pipe bombs this month. It's, again, this is a smoking gun, and the one thing they want us to do is forget about this. So we have to be persistent.
Exactly.
We have to keep focused. They win if we forget about either Ray Epps or the pipe bomb. We win.
That's exactly right.
If we pursue these fake stories to their ultimate conclusion. So I'm very happy to deliver yet another headache to Merrick Garland on a silver platter.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. Jack Posobiec, guest hosting for Charlie Kirk. Thanks again.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.